You see, I don't care who you are, where you come from. See, temptation is everywhere. It's not only in the street, when you go to church house, you can still find temptation there. But you see, if you're a child of God and you've been born again, you ain't gonna let it bother. Could I get a witness here? Have God been good to you? Talking to you Christians tonight that don't mind being a witness for them. Have God been good to you? But you see, I'm not gonna be like that leaf that's on the wall. I'm not gonna drift away. I'm gonna stand fast for Jesus. I'm gonna wait for him. Would y'all join in when we say these words?
Back gambling, man. You must be ready. Oh, you got to be ready, gambling man. The Lord is on his way back, gambling man. Said he was coming back at a church, yeah. At a church without a spot or wrinkle. Whoa, gambling man. I'm talking to all the sinners today, yeah. Gambling man, if I were you, I would run back.
Run back to Jesus.
I know he cares,
Somebody said it's coming back real soon. No man knows the day or the hour, and maybe more than not a doom.
Yes, he is. Do y'all with more great gospel music right after this important message.
It's the number one gorgeous station in the world, turning up the beat in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI Radio Gospel Network, Mondays through Sundays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Turning up the beat with the pioneers of gospel and new artists around the world is all new on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. Catch the wave.
We have more great gospel music coming your way. Just get ready, sit back, and relax.
You're listening to the number one quartet station in the world, and I'm the old Chatham County Country Boy.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Make me change my mind. catch the wave on the NFI.
Begin to reverence the Lord right where you are. Lift up your hands and say,
Lord, I can't
even
walk
without your hope.
Count your holy glory.
Look at the Spirit moving. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. I want you to get real intimate with the Lord right now. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Holding my hand. After every little single thing that I've been through in life. After all the hell I've been through. I wish I had a church in here. After all the ups and downs that I've been through. Realize I got to have your holding my hand. Let me ask y'all the question. How many of y'all know, as long as the Lord holding your hand, storm may rise, wind might even blow, but as long as God holding your hand, he'll make the enemy leave you alone. He'll make the doctors give you a good report. All they got to do is hold it.
Say amen.
Well,
he been too good.
on the cross. Yes, he did. And when I think about it, how you humbly died.
He did it for me.
You could have chained down.
Yes, he could.
But you stayed right there.
Country boy, catch the wave.
Thank you.
Coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
I'm taking it. I'm glad that I Welcome to the Power of Prayer, Request Hotline 2024. Intercessory Prayer Warriors. Men and women of God. Praying for you. Heard Monday through Thursday, at 12:30 p.m. till 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Feel free to call in at any time at 984-733-3977. For one of our prayer warriors to pray with you, on our 24-hour hotline. To listen now, by phone at 12:30 p.m. Call 563-999-3020. Again to listen now, call 563-999-3020 or go to our website at nfiradio.com. Now let's join Apostle Phyllis Leslie every Monday as she intercedes for you in this nation. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. Praise the name of the Lord. We're so excited again to be with you here on a miracle Monday, a miraculous day of the Lord. And we're so thankful and grateful for you to be with us today. And again, we're excited to be in the opportunity, in the atmosphere of prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. Again, I am so excited to know that God is still moving by his power. In the name of Jesus, I hope that everyone today is just ready and excited to see what God is going to do on this week. Amen. We've had such an awesome time this past week. And also, and other people that have called in have said thank you so much for what you are doing. Amen. And we're grateful to be able to have this Monday prayer time together. Amen. I thank each and every one that is calling right now. I believe that you're calling in now and you're asking for requests. And for that, I say thank you. I want to briefly remind you that the Word of God says, "For we know all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose." Amen. Romans 8:28. So we thank you. And now as we get ready to just go on to this next level, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, oh God. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, oh God, with your model prayer that says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory." And for that, we thank Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. I just am so excited again to say thank you, Lord, for how you open the doors, amen, for us to come together and join hands and hearts together to be able to pray, to be able to come before you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the many things that you are doing in our lives, oh God. Father God, we are thanking you this afternoon, God, that you've carried us through all of our obstacles, oh God. You've carried us through our joys and our pains, oh God, today, amen. And I want to start today, God, with the children, amen, oh God, saying, God, we're praying for children, hallelujah, because they're the birthplace, oh God. So we thank you, oh God, for the children, oh God, this afternoon, oh God, that you will give a hedge of safety around them, oh God, that you will keep them safe in your arms, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, that you will keep them safe in the schools, oh God, that you will continue to dispatch your angels, your good angels, oh God, around the schoolhouses, oh God, from kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten to college, amen, oh God, that you will look upon them, even the adult children who are in college, oh God, that are feeling the sense of fear, oh God, Hallelujah, Lord God. I know what your word says, but I want to just encourage their hearts today. Someone that may be listening who's in school, who has been dealing with the shootings in their universities and their colleges, oh God, to let them know that God is still standing by. Hallelujah, Lord God. I want them to know that you're still making a way out of no way, God. Let them know, God, that you are safe with them, oh God. And no matter what danger comes, oh God, the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we don't have to want for anything when we are trusting and depending on the Lord, amen. And for that, we're saying thank you this afternoon, Lord God. And I thank you for it. God, I thank you, oh, hallelujah, God, for that child, hallelujah, that's in the hospital right now, oh, God, that's feeling afraid because they're hurting, oh, God, and they're fearful. And your scripture said you don't give the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But we're teaching the little children that even in the midst of your fear, that the Lord is covering you. The love is there to give you the strength you need to endure what you're going through. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, oh God, that we're praying for the children, that they be not the bullying that's been going on throughout the schools, oh God. Hallelujah, God, that you will calm that, Lord God, that you will allow each child to feel safe in the name of Jesus. That parent that has let me know, oh God, that they need prayer for their child. There may be some bullying going on, but they have withdrawn in their heart from school. And if there's bullying going on, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you're making a way because you are the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, God, we thank you for it right now, oh, God. Hallelujah. And for that, I say thank you. You are our shield and our buckler. And for that, oh, God, we thank you, God. We thank you for that, those families who have just passed by the Columbine 25 years of that particular school shooting, oh God. Continue to strengthen them, continue to renew their minds, continue to keep them, God, with a heart of thanksgiving, God, knowing that you are still doing everything that you said you would and that your love never fails. And for that, we say thank you. God, we praise you right now for all prayer petitions, oh God, in the name of Jesus, near and far. And God, for that, we're excited because we're excited about the victory. Hallelujah, God. We're excited about the victory that belongs to us in Jesus' name, God. We're saying, hear our prayer, O Lord. Hallelujah. If 'tis recorded in your word, hallelujah, it is only that we look and live, the hymn says. And for that, we believe that hymn, oh God. We believe that if we look to you, Jesus, there is nothing that we can't accomplish. There is nothing that we can't do because, God, we know in our hearts, oh God, that you can do anything but fail. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And for that, we're giving praise. We're giving honor to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. We're thanking you right now for that one who is putting their petitions out right now, God, saying, I need more strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And for that, I say thank you. And we are touching and agreeing and believing with you today that you will receive that inner strength that you need to endure whatever's going on your jobs today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We're believing, God, that you will be heard in the name of Jesus when you go before the people that you need to speak with, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. We're thanking you, oh God, for those ones who are calling out, saying, I need to get to my job. Hallelujah. And we're believing, God, for the proper transportation for you to get there, for you to do what needs to be done, to provide that transportation and traveling mercies, oh God. God, I thank you for prayer, God, that's covering those that have called and said, hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for the prayer. Hallelujah. We know that prayer changes things, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you're praying, God. An accident that could have happened didn't happen to me, oh God. Hallelujah. A report that was not going to be good is now good. And we thank you for those victories, oh, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God. I ask you now, God, to go to each of the hospitals, oh God, not just for the the patients, oh God, but go to the administrators, oh God, and God, ease some of the pressures, oh God, that they may have when they're making decisions, oh God, that everything is not corporate, but it's about care, oh God, that they will make some decisions from their heart, oh God, looking into your word and believing you, oh God, that we have to have long suffering, oh God. Hallelujah, that everything is not numbers, but it's the people that we serve and that we have confidence, that have confidence in believing that when they come to your facilities, oh God, that they will receive what they're looking to receive, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, and Lord, oh God, I thank you for those families that are in bereavement right now in the precious name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you to give them inner strength right now, inner strength to endure this time of loss, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, for the several requests that we have right now, oh God, that even as they approach, oh God, hallelujah, the service, oh God, to say their goodbyes. It's not really goodbyes. I'll see you later. Because if we live in Christ, oh God, we know that we will be there again. Amen. Because we have life eternal. And for that, I'm saying thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I'm feeling so good right now, God, because I know, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you're touching them right now. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God saying that it's here. I'm here. I'm here for you. Hallelujah. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because I'm with you in the name of Jesus. And for that, we're saying thank you. Hallelujah, Lord God. I'm praying for those ones who want to be with their family in those occasions, oh God, but they're feeling sad. They're feeling fearful. They're because of the fact that their hearts are so heavy that they can't take it. But God, we're believing that we can count on God this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus to help us through all of that in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that you will make a way for us, that you will make a way for us to be able to endure this hardest as a good soldier, that they'll be able to endure this loss. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to pray, God, and say, I need you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We're praying for the people who work in the hospital this afternoon, oh God, who prepare the foods, oh God. Hallelujah. I'm asking you, God, to anoint the food, oh God, according to your word in Exodus, oh God, where you said, bless thy bread and thy water and take any manner of sickness away from the midst of us, oh God. Hallelujah. For that, we say thank you. We claim healing for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. I'm praying and I'm believing you, God, that even those that deliver the food to the different people in the hospital, that even their smile, oh God, may be an enlightenment to someone that's really feeling sad and alone, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God for those that are in the nursing homes right now, God, that one of the nurses or someone walking by that just gives them a smile will be an uplift to them, oh God, that they will feel like, oh, wow, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Someone cares, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Someone that may not have had a visitor, the missionaries that are coming through will stop into a room of a person that they don't know that may have been there for a long time that's saying, I just wish someone would stop by. Hallelujah, God, because the nurses aren't here. They don't talk to you. They just come in sometimes and just do what they do and they leave. But, God, we thank you right now, God, for those older people especially, or those people who have critical injuries, oh God, to be encouraged today, to know that the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you in the name of Jesus. And for that, we're saying thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus, God. I'm thank you for the social workers, oh God, that are helping families, oh God, be mended back together again, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for the young person who's looking for someone, oh God, to be there for them, huh? The forever families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And for that, I'm saying thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We're praying even, God, right now for every church that's represented on this line in the name of Jesus, God. We're saying, God, give us what we need, oh God, to minister, oh God, to be there for each and every one that comes before us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give us what we need, oh God, to be a strength. Bless every single prayer warrior that's on this line, God. We thank you for the NFI line, God. And we ask you just to remember each and every apostle, every pastor, every minister, every layperson, the people who work behind the scenes, oh God. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name, oh God, that you're going to continue, hallelujah, to direct our paths, oh God, that we can bring each week what the people are standing in need of in our line of prayer, oh God, that we will be able to get praise reports, amen, hallelujah, oh God, that even when the reports don't seem so positive in our mindsets or their mindsets, we can still give a word of encouragement to say, stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about you, according to Ephesians, oh God. And that I say, thank you, Lord. And I believe you, oh God. I believe you at your word, that it is so, that it is done, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you, oh God, for those who may have lupus, oh God, for those that may be calling in today that have leukemia, Lord God, hallelujah, amen, in the name of Jesus, diabetes, that may have high blood pressure. God, we're believing that even those types of ailments, oh God, that you're still in the blessing business, oh God. You're still in the healing and affirming business, oh God, hallelujah, that you love each and every one of us, God. And God, you already know, according to your word, God, that you know what we stand in need of even before we ask, oh God, that we'll still press our way even when our own bodies are racked with pain, oh God, hallelujah, we'll still press. We'll still make the press. I press in the name of Jesus. Despite all pain, God, I still press. I'm pressing with you. Know that apostles pressing with you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah, God. I'm pressing with you. Hallelujah, that even when your body is hurting so badly that you can't even move, glory to God, you still know that God is still with you. Glory to God. Know that the victory is coming for you in the name of Jesus. If you can just lift your hands wherever you are and tell God thank you. Hallelujah. I feel like somebody right now is just lifting their hands because they feel the anointing of God's presence, because he says he's omnipresent, oh God. And we believe that on the power of prayer, amen, God, that as it goes out every day, as the gospel music is played throughout the day, that it's soothing someone's body, oh God. It's soothing someone's heart, oh God, in the precious name of Jesus. And because of that, Lord God, we love it. And I love you. And I can just take a sweet, soft voice and say, God, I thank you. Melodically, harmonically, God, I know, God, that you're hearing me. God, I know, God, that every day I open my eyes, God, I say thank you. Every day, God, when I'm believing and people are trying to tell me that is not so, God, I can still believe because your word tells me that you're the author and finisher of my faith. Because your word tells me, oh God, hallelujah, that I should put my trust in you, God. The victory is already mine. Hallelujah, God. I ask you traveling mercies, oh God, for even those that are traveling on the road right now, God. Hallelujah, that you will give them what they need to stay focused, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you for it right now. Hallelujah, God. Even for that one that's sitting there watching the others eating and that they don't have the money or the food, oh God. God, I'm believing, God, that you're going to drop it in somebody's spirit to invite them to lunch. Hallelujah, God. We're praying for the homeless people today, God, that are crying out, oh God, and they're saying, we need these tents. We need these places, oh God. We're praying, oh God, that they will be able to be okay, God, according to your will, oh God. Not our will, but your will. And Father, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Even as I lift my hands, oh God, I'm believing you that you're doing just what you said you would do. you're doing it in the way that you would do. And even though it seems like it's taken a long time, I'm a witness to let people know everywhere that God will answer your prayers. It may seem like it's not going to come, but I know that it will come. Through my own testimony, it will come. Hallelujah. That one that's in the hospitals, even in our area, amen, who's listening to the calls on the loudspeaker, doctors' numbers and different codes, I want them to know that it's not going to be as long as it has been in the name of Jesus. Because I'm believing through the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that you're going to make a way for them, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Through my own self-experience, oh God, I'm believing you, oh God, for each and every one, oh God, to know, God, that if nobody walks through that door, you've already come in. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that every report is not a bad report in the name of Jesus. But sometimes it's just the trying of our faith. And then James said, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire and wanting nothing. And we believe that. We believe that this afternoon, oh God. Hallelujah. For that one that's wandering around in the street right now, God, or on a campus right now, that's thinking about that they have no reason to live. We're here in the spirit of the Lord of prayer to say, live and not die in the name of Jesus. And for that, I say thank you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for obedience, oh God. Hallelujah. If we can just be obedient to the spirit of the Holy Spirit, God, he will direct your path, amen. And for that, I'm just excited. And I know y'all hear me say, I'm thanking so much, but the Bible tells me that it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Hallelujah, God. And for that, I'm excited. I'm excited because I see the working power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see blind eyes being opened. I see withered hands unfolding and becoming like a rose or a tulip. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm winding it down, but I just want you to know today that I felt a common sense of prayer for those that are needed, that's needed today for each and every one that's out there. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for your word, God. That one that may feel as though that I'm never going to get a yes answer. I was told a long time ago, every no brings you closer to a yes. So I thank you for it right now, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus, God. Even as the birds sing sometimes, allow their melodic sound to lift you up. Even as I'm sitting in my home just praying now, I'm watching the beautiful birds, the blue jays and the cardinals just fly by from the ground to the trees. And I'm saying the same thing for somebody out there this afternoon as I'm coming down. Hallelujah, Lord God, that somebody's going to come from the ground up to the trees and the leaves, and that they're going to have what they need, glory God, to succeed. I'm believing right now, glory to God, that somebody's going to get those deeds with the keys in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get that big ribbon on the car. Hallelujah. It might not be new, but it's new to you. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that for that one that asked for prayer that said, I'm trying to get my grandchildren. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get them back. Well, that mother that says, I want my son, my daughter back. I'm believing that everything is going to line up for you in the precious name of Jesus right now, oh God, so that you can get what you're looking for in the precious name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you. And as we get ready to go right now, God, I just say, God, I thank you. I thank you, God. And I'm believing with all that I am, God, that you're going to answer these prayer petitions that have been put before me, oh God. That hearing, glory, that hearing, that ear is going to open. Hallelujah. That hearing is going to be restored right now in the precious name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You will hear. Glory be to God. Even without a hearing aid, you will hear in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that you're going to hear this on this line. I believe that you're going to hear some praise reports where people say, I was blind, but now I see. I couldn't hear, but all of a sudden, even on this line, even as the music plays so melodically, that it was a soothing, and all of a sudden, the pain in my body was gone. Hallelujah. I feel no more pain. Hallelujah. And for that, I say thank you. So again, I thank you for joining me again on this Monday. We're looking for a miracle. We're walking in expectancy, and we love you, and we look forward to being together, joining hands again together on that next Monday on the power of prayer. Thank you for joining us, and we love you. Spring into your blessings. Your faith is the foundation of hope for you. God bless.
I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. I wish I had some church folk up in here tonight that said he'll make a way. For you and for me, say I know the Lord, he will see us safely through, and I know the Lord will make a way, oh yes he will. Stay on that one right there. Stay right there on that one. Sometimes you, when you're going through some stuff, you just need to get that good old knee slapping music. And just put your heel on the ground. Let the devil know, I know you tried to kill me, devil. But I'm still here. Yes, I am. What? Can I get a choir out here? I know y'all trying to act like y'all ain't no church folk up in here, but I know everybody done heard this song before. I need a choir out here. Let's do it right here. Everybody that knows that the Lord will make a way right here. Said I know.
I know the Lord.
I'm talking about you in good hands. The Lord will make a way. All you got to do is just look back over your life and see what he's already done. The fact that you walked in the building tonight, you ought to just know that he'll make a way in this situation. If he brought me this far, you know you shouldn't even be in here tonight. But the fact that you walked in the building, you ought to celebrate the fact that God has had his hand on you. When the enemy would have... He stumbled and fell. Don't tease him. If you're going to give him a praise, go ahead and give him a praise, but don't tease him. If you're going to give him a praise, go ahead and give it to him. Don't flirt with him and not give him what he deserves. Has he been good to anybody in here? If he's been good to anybody in here, open up your mouth and let the devil know I'm still alive. Celebrate yourself for a minute. Take your time, baby. Take your time. I know the struggle. All right, that's it. I'll stay there all night. We'll be right back.
standing by, that awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and you all are ready to receive him on this Monday. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellis out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. He is the author and writer of the Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. And now, let's join him right here, live from the NFI studios. And good afternoon to my listening audience out there. I may have a little bit of an unfamiliar voice coming out to you today, but that's because I'm out of my regular time slot. Normally, I would come on at 9:30 in the morning, every Monday morning from 9:30 until 10 o'clock a.m., but today I'm just kind of going with the flow. Sometimes things happen, and maybe, this is a good thing, because now I get to introduce myself to an entirely different group, an entirely different listening audience. Anyway, I'm so glad to be here with you, and I thank you for tuning in here on the NFI Network. My name is Robert Ellison, as you have heard, and my background is in systematic theology and biblical studies. With my morning crowd, I have covered a series of topics. I began my ministry here at the NFI Network back in February of this year, so I haven't been affiliated with the network for very long, but it's so good to be here with you this morning, because there is always a lot to talk about. And as I always say on the morning broadcast, so much to talk about, so little time, because things are happening all over the world. No matter where you look, it seems like the world is in complete and utter chaos. People are in distress. People have questions. They want to know what's going on, what is happening. And this broadcast has been created for the very purpose of shining light into the darkness. My motto is, I am a man on a mission. And that mission is to be salt and light in a decaying world, a dying world. And I am to occupy until he comes. I want to say this. We have all been created for such a time as this. I want to bring to your attention that because of the world events that are taking place and prophecy unfolding before our very eyes, consider this, that not only were we born, not only were we created for such a time as this, but we are living in biblical times right now, right here, today. I want to tell you something. For so many decades now, not even decades, even a millennia, for over 1,000 years, people have tried to suppress the word of God. This dates back to the ancient times in the history of the Jews. And God's purpose, his plan for humanity, is centered with the Jews. The Jews are considered to be God's people. Jesus Christ himself is a Jew. Notice I say is, not was, but still is, because he is the one that forever liveth. Amen. So with that being our backdrop, one of the reasons, the main reason why this broadcast exists is for the of waking up the church. For so long now, the church has been under the influence of various teachings. And a lot of the teachings that you and I have grown up with to some extent, have been altered, have been inaccurate. And so I endeavor to rightfully divide the word of truth. That's why I have the background that I have in theology, systematic theology, the study of God. So with that being said, and I'm speaking to you from the heart today. I'm speaking to you, this audience, which is a different audience from the one that I speak to on Monday mornings. And so I'm deliberately taking my time to walk you through some things and to bring some things to your attention. So as we look at the world today, as things are unfolding, we see Israel under a where the nations right now are in rebellion pretty much against Israel. Now, God said that in these last days that these things would take place. So the Bible covers, for 30% of the Bible is prophecy. Jesus Christ himself is the spirit of prophecy. So one-third of the Bible is prophecy. Unfortunately, that one-third of the Bible that so many people are in need of right now for so many years up to where we are today has either been neglected or it has been misinterpreted, and it has brought a flurry of confusion. And so for that reason, many pastors won't touch it because it's too controversial. Well, Jesus was controversial in his day, he and the apostles, when they introduced the gospel, what we know as the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is, you can find this in 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. This is the gospel according to Paul, the apostle Paul, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel, plain and simple. If you believe this in your heart and you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it says that you shall be saved. In order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be saved. There was a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus that asked the question of Jesus, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb for a second time? And so Nicodemus did not understand this being born of the Spirit. See, first, when you're born of a woman. You're born of the flesh. This is how we all came into the world. In that respect, we take on the nature of our father, our earthly father, Adam. And being born of the flesh, because Adam sinned in the garden, and all of creation fell behind Adam. And so for this reason, everything was put under a curse. All of God's creation fell under a curse. So the earth is cursed. In Romans chapter 8, as a matter of fact, it says that the earth groans in anticipation for the return of the sons of God. Well, who are the sons of God? That phrase is used in the Bible. It could refer to angels, but it also refers to man. So basically, it's sons of God could be translated as a creation of God. So you have angels that are created by God, and you have man who was created in the image of God, both considered to be sons of God. So this is where it helps to be able to rightfully divide the word as you're reading the scriptures and looking at the context, understanding what is being said and what the original intent is. So, again, this is why this ministry has exists. This is why I am presently speaking to you here on the NFI Network to try to help you make sense of a lot of what is going on in this world today. So let's get back to the fallen nature of man. Being born of the flesh, we are born sinners, and we are in need of a Savior. Now I want to speak to you about the one who is called the second Adam. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in order to redeem us, to set us free from the bondage that that sin brings. See, because of sin, sin ushered in sickness and death into the world. And so this is why people get sick. This is why there is an allotted time for all of mankind. You live for 70 years on average, but some by strength may make it into their 80s, 90s, or even live to be 100 years old. But eventually you die. And after that, the judgment. So for this reason, Jesus, being God, who came to us in the flesh of the Son, Jesus Christ, he came in order to lay down his life that we who are sinners would have everlasting life because of his sacrifice. So God required a propitiation, a sacrifice for the purpose of sin. When we read in the book of Genesis concerning Adam and Eve, right after they sinned, it's noted that God slaughtered an animal and he used the carcass to cover them because they realized that they were naked. See, that was the first sin sacrifice that was made. An innocent animal was slaughtered for the purpose of covering someone else's sin. But what I want to draw attention to you about is the blood, because life is in the blood. See, it was all about the blood. And so all through the Old Testament, there was the slaughtering of bulls and goats and sacrifices before God, because this is what God required. He required a blood sacrifice in order to take care of the sin situation. But this was only temporary, and it was only to lead to the one who would offer himself up as a living sacrifice once and for all time, for all of humanity. And that was the purpose of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, coming into the earth. He not only offered himself up as a living sacrifice, he was ridiculed, he was shamed, he was crucified on that cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, conquering death, conquering the grave, conquering hell itself. And so today, we are the recipients of that grace that was given to us by God. We didn't earn it, but it was given to us, something that we did not deserve. Prior to his crucifixion, prior to his great sacrifice, we were all headed for separation, eternal separation from God, eternal damnation in this place called hell or Gehenna. So that's the backdrop. Now we turn to Israel. Israel from the book of Genesis all the way to where we are today. And even in the future, going into the book of Revelation. God has told us the future. He's given us the past in the first five books of what's called the Pentateuch, which are the writings of Moses. And all of the Old Testament speaks of his people. It speaks of the Jews. It speaks of God's redemptive plan of salvation through this people. And so what we're watching today as we see events unfolding before our very eyes, as prophecy is being unveiled now, we are what I believe to be the final generation prior to the return of Christ to the earth. Now, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the second coming. But in another way, there is an event that will take place prior to his second coming, and that is the rapture of the church. Spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He also spoke about it in 1 Thessalonians 4. He talks about where the Lord himself will appear in the clouds with the voice of the archangel. There will be a shout, and there will be the sound of a trumpet. It's called the trump of God. He says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up to meet them in the air. Now, this was a mystery. It was a mystery to all of those in the Old Testament, because up to this point, up until the time that Jesus revealed it to his disciples, to the apostles, it was a mystery. How many of you know today that the early church consisted, it was all Jews? That's what the church consisted of, Jews. The apostles themselves were Jews. The church was based and built on the foundation of this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we were all introduced to through the Jews, through the Torah, the writings of the Torah. As a matter of fact, today and starting tomorrow, the Jews are celebrating Passover. You know, the account of the death angel that passed by the doorposts that were basically painted with the blood of the lamb that was slaughtered. And for every door that was marked, the death angel that was sent by God to destroy those who would oppose his people, eventually leading them to their freedom, where Pharaoh had to let them go because the plagues had been released on Egypt. This is a history of the Jews, the Hebrews, as some would call them. But even then, God had a plan, again, for all of humanity. This is where we sit today. Now, I have to be honest with you, because the lesson that I had planned and the outlines, the notes that I had made, was for the morning group of people, that listeners that I would normally speak to. But God has laid this particular message on my heart, and I'm speaking off script, so to speak. I'm speaking to you because these are things that need to be known, especially in the times that we are living in right now. Because a lot of the church, believe it or not, does not understand. As it sees these events unfolding, they can't connect the dots because, again, because of teachings that were misrepresented from the Word of God, whether it was the amillennialists, the people that would allegorize Scripture and somehow try to convince you that the church has replaced Israel, the church has replaced the Jews. even Paul says, God forbid, you know, he would never turn his back on his people. God himself has said it. He says that the stars, the moon would fall from the sky, the sun would not shine if that were true, if that were so. The Jews are an everlasting people. They are forever. They are established forever. When I speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is a covenantal God. God does not renege on his covenants. Every covenant that God has made from the very beginning up until now is still in effect. From the first covenant that he made with Adam, where he says, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over all of the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the beast of the field. Is that covenant still not in effect? Yes, it is. The covenant that he made with David, the covenant that he made with Abraham, the covenant that he made with Moses, the covenant that he made with Noah. All you have to do is look into the heavens after a brisk rain, and as the sun shines, you can see a rainbow that covers the sky, beautiful and bright in its colors, a rainbow. But we look at what's going on in society today, and for what God meant the rainbow to represent in the beginning with Noah, it was a covenant that God made that he would never again destroy the earth by way of water. That was a sign of the covenant that God made with Noah. He placed that bow in the sky as a reminder to all of us. So God does not break covenant. But because the world has gone its way, it has rejected God, it has gone so far from God, even the church, we are in what you could call an apostate era. We're still in the age of grace, commonly known as the church age, but many of our churches are apostate. Many indulge in such folly. For instance, just a couple of months ago, I viewed a video, and I don't know if this video went viral, but it was from a church in the state of Ohio where they kind of mimicked a football team because it was Super Bowl season, and the pastor of the church and a couple of other members reenacted the kickoff. And so they had their football jerseys on. They had a person dressed as a referee. And this was all on stage for all of the congregation to see. This was their viewing audience, the congregation of this church. And so they reenacted the kickoff. The referee blew his whistle. There was a coin toss. The winner of the coin toss got to choose whether to receive or to kick off. And I want to tell you today, in case many of you did not know, the item that was kicked off was not a football, but rather it was the Bible, the Logos, the written word of God that was kicked across a stage. And if that wasn't bad enough to hear the cheering and the clapping that went on inside of that church from its onlookers. That's what I mean by an apostate church. It's a church that has totally lost its way. You have to ask yourself the question, what were they thinking? What was the pastor of this church thinking? Now, that's just one instance But there are many that I could tell you about, but you get the idea. And so this broadcast, this ministry that God has led me into, this is all new for me, this type of ministry. I preached in pulpits. I have traveled many parts of the country, both on the East and the West Coast. And I have preached in many, in various places. I've done tent crusades. I've done a number of things. But never in my lifetime have I seen the world in the condition that it's in right now. And I'm not the only one that can see it. Many people, even those who do not believe, there are non-believers that are asking questions now. What in the world is going on? Something is happening. Something is about to happen. For the hearts of men are in fear for the things that are about to come upon this world. The lesson that I had planned today was on the tribulation period, the seven-year period of time that God will use to open up the eyes of his people to the truth. You see, currently, right now, they are blinded to the truth because they first rejected their Messiah when he came in the first advent. When Jesus was on the earth and he walked with the apostles, they refused to believe that he was the Son of God. When, in fact, he accepted worship where only God accepts worship. And he proved to them by the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead, the power that he had as far as the resurrection. He demonstrated that with his friend Lazarus. When Lazarus took sick and he got word that he was in very bad shape, Jesus delayed his return. And I'm told, and we can read, that it was only about a two-mile trip that he had to make. He could have gotten there before Lazarus died. But I believe Jesus purposely waited until that fourth day. You see, in the Jewish tradition, a person is not legally, clinically recognized as being dead until after the third day. So Jesus waited an additional day, and on the fourth day he shows up, and Mary and Martha were there, and they said to him, you know, Master Rabboni, teacher, if you had been here, you could have stopped this. You could have prevented this. He says to Martha, he says, Martha, do you believe that your brother will rise again? And she says, yes, I believe in that day. And so he sensed that she didn't quite get what he was trying to convey to her. And he says, no, he says, what I want you to understand is that I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not based on a day, but it's person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And so he commanded them to roll the stone away, and he called out Lazarus' name. He says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, even his sister says, surely by now he stinketh, or he stinks. He's good and dead. And for this purpose, for this reason, Jesus delayed his return to prove the power that was given to him by the Father. With witnesses watching, they watched Lazarus come out of that grave, wrapped in his grave clothes. And he told them to remove those grave clothes off of him. Now, Lazarus went on for another 30 years. He eventually became a bishop in that region. representing the kingdom of God. This is what happened to Lazarus. At the crucifixion of Christ, at the resurrection, when he was crucified, he was on the cross. There was a thief at his side. He was crucified between two thieves, Barabbas and the other thief. And the one thief believed in him, the other did not. The one thief that believed in him, he says, remember me in paradise. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell him that he had to get baptized, that he had to go into the water baptism before he could be saved. No, 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 no. He simply saw that this man had great faith. And immediately he told him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so after he was buried, he went down, it says, into the lower parts of the earth, and he set those who were in captivity, he set them free. Who were they? They were the Old Testament, prophets. And all in the Old Testament who had heard that he was coming, but they died before he arrived on the earth. So they were resurrected in a way. But they were taken out of their confinement there in Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom was a place that was that the Bible talks about where the dead went, the righteous dead. This was actually a part of hell, but it was a part that was separated from those who died and the unrighteous dead. And so these people that were on the side where Abraham was, it was a place of provision, it was a place of comfort, it was a place of rest. So Jesus took them out when he came up. But at the same time, in the book of Matthew, it tells us that the place where Jesus was crucified, those people came out of their tombs. Again, those who died and that were righteous in the eyes of God. Their bodies arose. Even though they had been dead, they arose from the grave. And they walked into the nearby city, and they were seen by many people. That is a precursor of the rapture that is coming, because it spoke of a great earthquake that took place. The sky had turned dark. There was a great earthquake, and the graves opened up. So the same God that created the universe and all that is therein, the earth is the Lord's, and the earth is his footstool, the Bible says. The same God that was able to speak the worlds into existence. Don't you know that if he could do these great things in 6 days' time, that surely he could raise a body from the dead? This is nothing to God. So the Jews, in the history of the Jews, are the backdrop of all that I'm speaking to you about. All of these things that have taken place and are still taking place, they're part of God's plan for humanity. And all the nations of the earth, it is said, in the last days, which is what we are living in right now, that his nation, Israel, would become a burdensome stone for the nations. It would be something that is hard to lift it would be troublesome. And this is where all of the quarreling comes in. You see, the anti-Semitism that is all around the world, God told us that this was going to happen prior to the return of Jesus. Why? Because it's a spiritual war that we are in. Satan wants to destroy the Jews. And he feels that if he can destroy the Jews, that Jesus would not have a purpose or a reason to return. Why is that? Because Jerusalem is the flashpoint, is the city that Jesus is going to rule from in the millennial reign, that 1,000 years that the Bible talks about in Revelation 19 through 21. The dead will be raised prior to that. The church is going to be raptured before this tribulation that's coming on the earth, because we are not part of that wrath that's going to be unleashed by God on a Christ-rejecting world. But the Jews are, and so are the Gentiles that do not believe. Prophecy in the book of Daniel, and this is in my lesson plan that I had intended to speak about this morning, but I won't get too far in depth with it. I'm going to save that for next week. But those of you who are listening to me this afternoon, if you could, and if you are able, I would love for you to be able to tune in next Monday morning at 9:30, between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, and I will introduce you to this tribulation period, the reason why it must take place, the reason why the church will not be a part of it, because it is the wrath of God that's going to be unleashed, and the reason why the Jews must endure it. There are reasons for all of this. So there was a prophecy given in Daniel, and it spoke about a term of 70 weeks. These are 70 prophetic weeks, but they are weeks of years. And they amount to 490 years of basically tribulation or time of trouble for the Jews. So 483 of those years were already fulfilled, and the church had not even been thought of. But 2,000 years ago, God interrupted that time, and he inserted the church. So the church has been here for 2,000 years, but he put on hold the remaining 7 years of time, which is the tribulation period, and now we see the buildup where God is setting the table, and that time is knocking at our door. But it's not for the church. It's for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles that refused to obey God and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And I can see that my time is just about up. I was given some grace today, an additional 15 minutes, but I see that it was needed because God had his way in this presentation today, this afternoon. And I would just like to say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people. And Father, for those under the hearing of my voice, whatever they are going through, whatever, Lord, is your plan for them, so let it be done in Jesus' precious name. I pray that thy will be done on earth as it has already been done in heaven. And Lord, we shall continue to give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me this day. I believe that my time this morning, my normal time, was a divine interruption. Because we are in this warfare, there are certain things that God desires us to know. And I am delighted that he would choose not just me, but millions of people as willing vessels now to get the truth out time. This is a separating of the wheat and the chaff. This is a dividing that's taking place. And the truth can only be suppressed but for so long. So until next week, my friends, God bless you, and I look forward to speaking with you again. My name is Robert Ellison. If you need to reach me, you can reach me at approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. That's approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. God bless.
You can't help me.
You're tuned into the Stellar Warden Internet Radio Station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
The NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. Yo.
Hold up. Wait just a minute.
On your radio.
Yo. Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired. Showcase fellowship inspired.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Whenever you think about the condition of our world, whenever you watch the news, whenever you read the newspaper, there's always bad news. Kind of makes you long for a place that the Bible talks about where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. I want to put it in song, express the way I feel. I wanna go where the thunder don't roar.
Where the thunder don't roar.
There where chilly winds don't blow.
Chilly winds don't blow.
I wanna go above where the rain don't blow.
When I leave
this world to return.
To return.
When I leave,
when I leave,
yeah. Oh yeah.
To return,
let me say that one more time. I wanna go, boom, 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 boom. Where the thunder don't roll.
Where the thunder don't roll.
Wanna go somewhere where chilly winds don't blow. When I leave, when I leave
this world,
to return,
no more.
Won't have to cry
when
no
I leave
more.
This world,
to return,
return, no more.
Won't have to die no
when
more.
I leave this world,
to return,
to return, no more.
Won't be lying. Won't have to deal with heart attacks and strokes and sugar diabetes, high blood pressure to return. Come that morning when this life is over, gonna fly away and be at rest. To return, what a great day it's gonna be, yeah. To return.
Love's going to wipe
the tears from my eyes after the storm, after the storm has come and gone, after the wind has already died, after the clouds have cleared the sky, love's going to wipe the tears from my eyes. There have been days I hurt so bad, the load on my shoulders is more than I can stand. There have been times the pain inside so severe made me cry. Then love spoke to me softly and gently, said, "You're gonna make it through." I saw the storm after the storm had come and gone, the wind has already blown, after the clouds have cleared the sky, love's going to wipe the tears from my eyes. The sun smiles at night. There's a brighter day coming my way. A rainbow celebrates the dawn of a brand new day. I'll sing troubles over. I'll dance to victory. I'll swim in peaceful waters. Let love wash. I'll dance and be true.